I think the last probably few months, it's been interesting, hasn't it, to watch everything that's happening in our culture. I think one of the terms that I think of when I see what's happening is bitterness, anger, hatred, malice. I've never seen this kind of thing at this level in our culture. I mean, I can remember the Vietnam War, and I remember watching on the news at night as a little boy, Walter Cronkite coming on, and they showed all the protests. I remember the Kent State incident. I remember those things, just the rancor and the hostility. It is beyond that now in this day and age. And there's just so much bitterness nationally and internationally. But I think it goes deeper than that. There's a lot of bitterness and hatred individually. I want to ask you, just rhetorically, have you ever wished something bad would happen to someone that did something bad to you? I wish lightning would strike them. I wish they'd, you know, whatever. Have you ever wished that on someone? Have you ever held a grudge against somebody for something they did or didn't do? I mean, when I was in high school, I think I was a sophomore in high school, this friend of mine told me that he would do something for me. And turns out, you know, he didn't. And he didn't call me. He didn't let me know that it wasn't going to happen. And I waited and waited, and for hours I waited and waited and waited. And he never, from my sophomore year until he was a year older than me, until he graduated 2 years ago, 2 years later, we never spoke. Went to the same high school, and I refused to speak to him. I can hold a grudge with the best of them. You know, when I look back on that, how childish, how infantile, how immature that was, not for him, but for me. And I wasn't saved at the time, and I didn't understand bitterness and forgiveness. I've said things and done things that I'm sure have caused bitterness and hurt upon others. I know I have. I know I've hurt other people. And I'm looking at you, and I know you've done the same thing. You've hurt other people by the things that you've said. We all have. I'm sure there are people who are bitter and resentful because of me, because of something I've done or I've failed to do or I've said. And I'm not dismissing that. I feel bad about that. I regret that. I don't. My intention is not to ever hurt somebody or to anger somebody or to cause somebody bitterness. I don't want that. No, I don't think any of us do we? Maybe you do. Maybe you like people being mad at you. Maybe you like to push people's buttons. I wish I could say that once I became a Christian, it's all changed. I wish I could say that once I became a pastor, everything changed then. I don't make anybody mad anymore. I mean, I could tell you things from our previous ministry. I could tell you things. We had a meeting with somebody, and I thought we had a business meeting one evening, or not a business meeting, it was just a general session. We were just talking, and we were trying to decide about making a purchase, a major purchase. And this guy got so mad at me, I thought he was going to come over the pews and start strangling me. And my son, my oldest son, was sitting in front of him, and I thought Joshua was going to take him down. Or going to have to take him down. I mean, you know what that means? The Spirit of God is no longer in control of that service, and it's time to stop. We should have just ended it and closed in prayer. I'll tell you this. For me, it's a work in progress. And I praise the Lord for that. I realize, you know, I've got a long way to go in my life when it comes to bitterness and when it comes to forgiveness. We're going to start with some passages of Scripture, and we're going to look at a lot this morning, but I want to just draw your attention to the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and the first passage we're going to look at is, or just mention here, is this, Matthew 5, 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Verse 10 is interesting. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. To obtain mercy. You know, one of the things that, I start off here with this first blank or the first statement about bitterness. Bitterness is a common problem for just about everybody. At some point in some situation, some people are bitter about lost opportunities. Some people are bitter about a bad childhood. Some people are bitter about a bad relationship. Some people are bitter because a situation didn't work out the way they thought. You know, we just spent the month of January going through the life of Joseph. Not the life of Joseph. The obstacles that Joseph faced on Sunday evenings. Aren't you amazed that through all of that, here's a man who never grew bitter or angry or resentful? He wasn't bitter against his father. He wasn't bitter against his brothers. He wasn't bitter against God. I was thinking about this morning. You know, the butler and the baker have the dream, right? Have their dreams. And all Joseph does is reveal the meaning of the dreams. Is that a big deal to them? Yeah, because one's going to live and one's going to die. And he tells the one who lived, the butler, right? I think it's the butler. He tells the butler, remember me. Let me ask you something. How hard is that? How hard would that be to remember a guy who interpreted a beneficial dream to you? How difficult a task is that? But he doesn't. He forgets. And for, what, 2 more years, Joseph is stuck in that prison. I mean, if it were me, I would be murmuring and complaining all the time. Contrast that to the children of Israel being delivered from Egypt. And as they come up out of Egypt into the promised land before they get to Kadesh Barnea, every time we read about them, almost every time, what are they doing? Murmuring and complaining. We had it so good in Egypt. We had it made there. Really? I mean, they're not even a year out of Egypt, and they're fondly remembering their slavery, their servitude. Now, lest we condemn them, how easy is it for us to forget those same things? Bitterness is a common problem to just about everyone. So how do we handle it? When I was growing up, here was what my dad told me. When someone does wrong to you, don't get mad. Get even. And I can tell you that is what I did a lot of times. Look at Romans chapter 12, though. Romans chapter 12. Again, a very familiar passage to us. Romans 12, I beseech you, therefore, brother. He starts off, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And the mercies of God is just a summary of everything he has said in Romans 1 through 12. I beseech you, by these mercies that I have declared to you, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then he goes through a list of, here are some responsibilities that we have. Look down at verse 9. In verse 9, he says, look down at verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. I mean, some people seek revenge about the wrong that's done to them. But what does God tell us? That's not our place. It's his place. Let him handle it. You know, we look at the situation from our perspective. How does it affect me? How does it hurt me? How has it been detrimental to me? Is that the perspective that God looks? Is that the perspective that God sees? I mean, just think back to, I'm really drawing from Joseph heavily, but think back to how Joseph handled the situation. Remember what he said to his brothers? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. That was God's perspective. When you look at all those situations that Joseph faced, I mean, he's taken captive, his brothers kidnap him and sell him, and he's enslaved, and then he's in prison. All of that, from our perspective, would you consider that good? But God considered it good. We're looking at a very limited perspective of life. God looks at the big picture. And that's one of the things that I think we as Christians have to do. We have to look at the big picture. We have to see, you know, there's more to life than what's happening in the present, in my present circumstances. He looks at all situations from his perspective. What's his perspective? Eternal. His perspective is eternal. Ours is temporal and finite. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Another interesting statement. We're going to get to this sometime in the next few months, Lord willing. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Let me ask you this. Do you know a person, someone who's bitter? They are just a bitter, angry person. And they find fault with everything. You say an easy illustration is you say the glass is half full, they'll say it's half empty. You say it's the sun is out, they'll say it's mostly cloudy or whatever. You know, whatever it is, they'll think the opposite and it'll always be negative. Do you enjoy being around people like that? What does that do to you? It brings us down. It's discouraging. It's disheartening. That's why Paul says things in Philippians and other books like, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And he writes this from a prison cell. You know, if somebody hurts you, well, I've written this down. If somebody hurts you, what do? You tell somebody else how they hurt you? Or you tell a lot of other people what's been done to you from your perspective? Why do you do that? Why do we do that? Because we don't want them on their side. We want them on our side. We want them to know the truth. We want them to know what really happened. Why don't we tell the Lord? I'm not speaking just to you. I'm speaking to myself. I mean, I have done this too, and I struggle with this. Bitterness is a common problem. Hurts are caused by various selfish unmet needs, perceived unmet needs and expectations. You know, everybody needs unconditional love. You realize that? Everybody desires. I want people to like me. I want people to love me. I remember, you know, what was it? Somebody used to say, you're a person that only your mother could love. Your mother could love. Sometimes you wonder about that, don't you? Everybody desires to be loved, despite who they are. They may believe, they honestly may believe that I deserve to be loved. And I deserve, especially, that God loves me, because I'm such a wonderful person. Have you read Romans chapter 5? While we were yet enemies, God's enemies, Christ died for us. You know, here's the thing. Look at Psalm 36. People don't recognize how spiritually needy they really are. Psalm 36. Don't take our eyes off the Lord, though. Don't take your eyes off the Lord. Psalm 36, beginning at verse 5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep, O Lord. Thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness. I love that. I love that loving kindness. Mercy. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O Lord. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. What imagery he's describing here. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light we shall see light. O, continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me. Let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down. They shall not be able to rise. Don't take your eyes off the Lord. Keep your eyes focused on the Lord. I think that's what Joseph did. I think that's what David did many, many times in his life. Probably, I would venture a guess, many more times he should have. kept his eyes on the Lord. I think a lot of times in that in those circumstances, we're more like David than we are Joseph. Here's the point. People will disappoint us. God won't. So why do we focus on, why is it so easy to focus on people and what they're doing to us than what God has promised us in his word? Sinful attitudes. Letter C there. Sinful attitudes cause hurts. Remember the story, I was reading this yesterday, remember the story of this man, Elkanah, and his two wives, Peninnah and Hannah? And Hannah had how many children? None. Peninnah had two. And Hannah kept looking at Peninnah. And what happened? She grew bitter. See, that's what we do. Sinful attitudes. When we compare ourselves to others, we become bitter. Bitterness is a result of improperly responding to hurts. I mean, don't you ask yourself, you read that story, and don't you ask yourself, why didn't Hannah just take this to the Lord in the first place? Why didn't she just go to the Lord, you know, just from the very beginning? But she didn't. But let's not condemn her, because you and I do the same thing. When we look at other people, well, he has this. I don't have that. I'm purely illustration. I'm jealous of athletes. I'm jealous of someone like Tom Brady, who has 5 Super Bowl rings. He doesn't have the jersey from the Super Bowl, and he doesn't have the football, but he's got 5 Super Bowl rings. I'm jealous. I'm not really. You see, bitterness destroys our character for eternity because it destroys us from within. I don't look at what someone else has or someone else is able to do. There's an interesting story in the Gospel of John when Jesus, after the resurrection, Jesus is walking with Peter and John, right? And the conversation that takes place, and Peter turns to Jesus and he says, well, Lord, what about this guy? What about John? What about him? I mean, we do that all the time. Well, what about Oris? I'm jealous of Oris. Or Jeff. And the Lord said what to Peter? Don't worry about him. You take care of yourself. You've got enough on your plate. Don't be bitter about things. Why? Number two, bitterness is lethal. You know, people make this claim. Here, you know, remember I said, don't get mad, get even. Here's another claim they make. Revenge is sweet. I ask you on the paper there, what do you think of the phrase? That's rhetorical. You can write something down. You just think about it. What do you think of that? Revenge is sweet. But in reality, it really isn't. Because we're so eaten internally with bitterness, it's never enough. It's not enough. There's, you know, you see revenge happen with somebody, you see vengeance taken, or you take something on somebody and you pay them back, and it's never enough. It really isn't. And we become consumed with that thinking about ways to destroy a person who hurt us. And we plot revenge and we plot tactics, and that's what we live for. But it destroys our spiritual well-being. Look at Matthew 18. I have to I was thinking about this morning, and I was trying to remember this reference, and I couldn't. And I have a concordance in the back of my Bible, and it didn't list any of the words. And I asked Jeanette, where's this story? Where's this reference? And she said, just Google it. So I did. Thank the Lord for Google. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. What's he saying there? Whenever your brother sins against you, forgive him. Just keep on forgiving him. It's what he's saying is it's an infinite number. It's an infinite number of times. It's a Jewish figure of speech, or the Hebrew way of expressing, whenever he sins against you, forgive him. Just keep on doing it. And then he begins to tell the story, about the kingdom of heaven. A certain king took account of his servants, and so you can read the story later. It destroys us. It'll destroy us spiritually, and it'll destroy us physically. It will. Third, bitterness is curable. Bitterness is curable. How do we overcome it? Or how does the Lord overcome it in our lives? We have to become intimate with God's forgiveness. Remember, I said Romans 5. I mentioned Romans 5 a while ago. I want to read this. Romans 5, 8. I mean, you could read all of Romans 5. It's an amazing chapter. But Romans 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That is amazing. Being justified, being declared righteous and treated as such. How? By the blood of Christ. It's not something in us that's deserving of it. It's because of what Christ has done for us that God forgave us. One of the things I want to just kind of meditate on all year this year is the forgiveness of God of sinners. Just think about that. How great God's forgiveness of sinners is. You know, I look at this, I look at what's going on in our world, and I'm almost to the point where I'm weeping, because we are such selfish, egotistical, proud, hateful, bitter, angry people who were created in the image and likeness of God. How can we be doing this? How can our fellow men be and women be doing this? You know, where's gratitude? Where's humility? I mean, it's like the whole world is on the cusp of shaking its fist in God's face and making this declaration that was made a couple of thousand years ago by the Jews: we will not have this man rule over us. His blood be on us and on our children. It's like we're almost to that point where mankind is saying that again. There's so much anger and bitterness. But it's curable. If we just stop and think about the forgiveness of God, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Next time we have communion, think about that. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for me. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. What do we have to do? Confess it, number one, confess it as sin. Confess bitterness as sin, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10 goes on and says something interesting. If we say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves. I mean, I need to move on. Confess. Number two, recognize the source of bitterness. I said the source of bitterness. What I mean by that is pray for the one or the thing that has caused your bitterness. Offer that to the Lord. Turn it over to God. In other words, just turn it over to the Lord. Don't hang on to it. Turn it over to God. Now, let me say this. That's easier said than done, isn't it? But it's vital that we turn it over to the Lord. Offer it to the Lord so that he can produce good fruit. I mean, look at James 1. James chapter 1, verse 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, various trials. Why? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, lacking nothing. If you lack wisdom, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like this wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. What are we to do in the midst of trials? We need to learn to trust God. I love the saying, Dr. R.T. Ketchum used to have this saying, and I used to have I used to have it on a piece of paper. Your loving Heavenly Father is too good to be unkind and too wise to make mistakes. Your loving Heavenly Father is too good to be unkind and too wise to make mistakes. And if you ever read the life of Dr. R.T. Ketchum, unfortunately his son didn't turn out the way he did, but Dr. Ketchum went through some terrible, terrible trials. He lost his wife, his first wife, when his children were little. She died. He himself suffered from an eye ailment, where he would literally have to hold a book up to his nose to be able to see it, to read it. And they used to say by the time he got done reading a book, the end of his nose was just black with the ink from the book. And he went through several surgeries, and just the point is that kind of thing is easy to become bitter over, but he never was. He was not a bitter man. He rejoiced in the Lord and what the Lord allowed him to do for many years. Pray for the salvation of the person or persons who've hurt you. Pray for change in them to bring God the glory. Pray for your own growth. I've got to move quickly. We've got 5 minutes. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. I mean, how can you talk about forgiveness and not mention this one? This is tough. This one to me is one of the most difficult ones to implement. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Ephesians 4, 31. That's 5. Ephesians 4, Verse 31, well, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. There's a principle throughout Scripture. There's a put off and put on, the principle of replacement. If you put something off, you have to put something on. You have to bring something into your life to replace it. So if you put off all these things, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, if you put those away, what are you going to do? Verse 32, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I love that phrase, be kind one to another, tenderhearted. You see that word, tenderhearted? If you go over to the book of Philemon, And you look at this a couple of times in the book of Philemon, he talks about in Philemon 7, we have great joy and consolation in thy love because of the bowels. You see that? The bowels of the saints. Verse 12, mine own bowels. Verse 20, my bowels in the Lord. That is the same word that he uses over in Ephesians chapter 4 for tenderhearted. I thought that was fascinating. The same word. How important is this? Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Folks, we've got to just purpose in our hearts. We're going to forgive people. I'm going to be a forgiving person. I'm just going to be that way. That's who I am. God can and will generously forgive us, but if we're harboring bitterness, it blocks communication with the Lord. Why is this so important? Let me give you these real quick, and then we'll be done. I focus on how God will use the offense for my benefit rather than on how the offender has hurt me. My focus is on the Lord. I mean, you think of Joseph, think of Daniel, think of the Lord, think of Paul. And you can think of others throughout Scripture. Number two, in forgiveness, I realize that bitterness is a form of vengeance which God forbids me to take upon myself. Bitterness is a form of vengeance or revenge. Romans 12:19. Third, I realize the offense against me are trivial. I mean, how much, maybe someone has stolen money from you, hundreds, thousands of dollars, I don't know. Maybe someone has done something else to you. Maybe someone has really hurt you deeply. Even that, how does that compare with sin against God? How does that compare? The offenses against me are trivial in comparison to the infinite offenses that I have committed against God. And fourth, in forgiveness, I realize that suffering is part of my Christian life. You know, God has purpose in it. Romans 8, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. What purpose has he called us to do? What purpose has he called us to be conformed to the image of his son, verse 29. How easy did Christ have it here on earth? How easy did the Lord have it? Was it easy for Christ to get through, you know, just living day? Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. God has a purpose in it, and he can bring good and glory to himself even through bad situations. My intent this year for myself and for everybody, really, is I want to ask the Lord to take bitterness away from me. I don't want to be bitter. You know, life doesn't work out the way you think the way we even hope it will. I mean, my goal, I laugh about it now. When I was in high school, my goal in life was to have my own construction business in Arizona. And I lived in Kansas at the time. I wanted to have two Corvettes. I wanted to have a new pickup every year. You know, I wanted to have the best carpentry equipment that money could buy. I was going to have my own house paid for, you know, all of this by the time I'm 30 years old. I'm 56. I drive a Honda Accord. It is paid for. I drive a silver FEA pickup. I have a dog. I have a wife. Two great sons who love me most of the time. Most of all, I have salvation. I have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I have eternal life. You know what? Why should I be bitter? I have a home in heaven that isn't going to, the plumbing isn't going to break down, you know, the air conditioning won't go out, the heater won't go out. I have a home in heaven, and I look forward to that. Don't be bitter. Be a forgiving person this year. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you for the day you've given us and for the hope and the promise that you provide for us what we need. Help us to be gracious in our lives as we live for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.